Thank you for listening. This is Israel Rebound, a podcast bringing you insight into Israel and viewpoints from around the world. I've changed it up a little bit. We've been focusing the past several weeks on the war with Israel and Hamas. I'm going to take a little different approach this week, but I'm joined by my co-host and friend Liz Felstern in Jerusalem, and I'm Alan Potash in California. Liz, how are you?
Hi, Alan.
I should never ask you that question right now. It's like the worst thing to ask anybody who's in Israel. How are you? I know how hard it can be, but you can break that down.
Hanging in.
That's an appropriate answer. Today we're recording on Wednesday, November the 15th. We usually record on Sundays, but due to scheduling, we're recording today, which is a good opportunity for us to talk about the recent march in Washington for Israel that took place yesterday in Washington, D.C. It's estimated that almost 300,000 people attended from all over the country. I did not go. I watched it on live stream. Liz, have you seen any news about this rally?
Yes, there's been quite a lot of news about this rally. And I would say that Israelis were very appreciative and felt supported by and were very much heartened, if I can say that, to see that the rally took place, tenor of the rally, the contents of the rally, the intentions behind it. I have only heard Israelis say very positive things about this march. I myself have some questions along with that.
Well, there you go. What kind of questions do you have? And see if I have the answers to them.
Well, so before we dive into that, maybe you'll do us the favor of reminding all of us what the stated mission was of this rally, because I do think it's important to understanding who came and why.
Sure, I can share that with you. Just want to give you a sense of there were two major organizations that kind of put this together on very short notice. They announced it less than 10 days before the event. The website, which is marchforisrael.org, says the March for Israel will be an opportunity for all Americans to come together in solidarity with the people of Israel to demonstrate our commitment to America's most important ally in the Middle East, to condemn the rising trend of anti-Semitic and violence and harassment, and to demand that every hostage be immediately and safely released. So Jewish Federations of North America and the Conference for Presidents of Major Jewish Organizations were the main organizers behind it.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, to my mind, even though this march was organized at relatively short notice and was organized by Jewish organizations, it was, you know, in its language, attempting to appeal to a broader audience than just the Jews of the United States. And if we think about the sort of three tenets of that mission statement, right, to want to support Israel as the United States' largest ally in the Middle East, standing against the rise of anti-Semitism, and being in favor of the release of civilian hostages by, you know, from a terrorist organization when those hostages include babies and elderly people. I mean, those are statements that I would think and hope the number of people who can agree with them is a very large portion of Americans, right? Not only Jews. And you know, if the number of people that came to the march was somewhere around, you know, that 300,000 figure, so that means 5% of the United States' Jewish population. So 95% of Jews didn't come. And right. And,
we're a tenth
of 1% of the United States population, a tenth of 1%.
But we're a big,
it's very small.
You're spread out.
Spread out. Okay, fine. So you say only half the country could realistically have gotten there. So it's 10%. But also, it's not about just Jews, right? Where are all of our allies? Where are all of the other Americans, the good Christians, the Americans of all stripes and backgrounds who want to stand up against anti-Semitism, who want to free hostages that, again, civilian hostages taken by a terrorist organization, and who support Israel, the United States' strongest ally, only ally in some ways, in the Middle East. Why are there so few Americans that want to get behind those statements? I think it's really, maybe I'm naive, but to me it's surprising. And whether I'm naive or not, I think it's sad and it's a little scary and it's disappointing, right? The Jewish people have been allies for many other minority groups and many other important causes, and have historically marched along for other groups in their hour of need. And yet, who showed up for this one?
So you're touching on one of the relevant current issues that we're facing in the Jewish community in America today, is that we historically have stood side by side with partners who've needed us to be their partners. And we are not seeing that on the same level today. And I think that part of what you're getting at is an example of the disinformation that has been disseminated around this war, this attack by Hamas, Israel's right to defend itself. There are so many people who are not really paying attention to the true challenge that exists today. I'm currently dealing with several universities in our area who are ignoring the history and have just propagated the disinformation about what's going on. They're having teach-ins, they're having gatherings, they're not really balancing out their positions. I'm currently working on a series of conversations and articles with presidents of universities as well as elected officials to remind them of the importance of understanding where the Jewish community is today around this issue. I want to cover just a couple of quick things. You talked about numbers. There was an additional 250,000 people who streamed it online. So now we're at over 500,000 people. Does that make it any better for you to think of the numbers?
Keep them coming. Oh, yeah, 500,000 is better than 300,000. Okay.
And then somebody posted in one of their newsletters today, they compared it to previous rallies. There was one in 2002 that drew 100,000 people. I happen to have been at that one. And then there was one for Soviet Jewry in 1987 that drew 250,000. And so this one is being billed as the largest.
I was also at the one in 2002, now that I think of it.
You were?
Yes.
Before I knew you.
Yeah, I was a young college student back then.
I took a busload of college students. You were not on my
bus. I was not on your bus.
I remember the challenge of 100,000 people in on the mall and in the Capitol area. So I just only imagine that 250,000 to 300,000 was a large crowd. But as I said, it's being billed as the largest pro-Israel gathering in U.S. history. And to your point, you know, there are 7 million Jews in America, and we have a lot of allies. Why weren't there more people there?
Look, it's also a pro-Israel rally, which took place in response to the worst act of terrorism that has happened to Jewish people in decades and decades. So it should be the largest rally, right? I mean, there's good reason for that. It's not like this was just a rally to support Israel. This is a rally to respond to the fact that Israel has been so deeply attacked and that a massacre happened.
I am challenged by the fact that I wanted to celebrate the 290,000 people that attended, and you're giving me a dose of reality.
We can do both, right? Like, okay, 200,000, another 250 online. Nothing to sneeze at. Yes, it is. It is worthy of celebration, and yet.
But let me take it to a different direction, because you just referenced that. You know, this is a response to the worst massacre against Jews since the Holocaust. There have been hundreds, if not thousands, of rallies around America over the past 4 weeks showing solidarity and support of Israel. So just to, you know, I don't have an exact count of how many, but I can tell you in almost every community, there have been rallies in support of Israel. We've had two already here in our community, very well attended. But again, I hear your comment that if this was a rally for Americans to support Israel, I have to kind of agree with you. They didn't show up.
We have been hearing that sort of question, I think, amongst the Jewish community in the United States, that question of, you know, who will show up for us for the past 6 weeks. And I guess now we know that there were reasons why that question is being asked, right? The broader American community, by and large, has not been able to say that they stand with Israel right now.
You're hitting on a point that is challenging to hear, but I can't challenge it because I think you're right. I'm going to just do a quick Google search here, because I know that there was a recent poll done that startled me with the results of the poll. Let me see if I can find. So there was a poll that NPR, PBS, and the Marist poll did the other day. I'm trying to see some numbers here. So from October, so the question is, growing share of Americans say Israeli response has been too much. So we have choices of too much, about right, too little, unsure. On October 11th, 26% said too much of a response, 44% about right, 27% too little. Then on November 6th to the 9th, 38% said too much, 38% said about right, and 17% too little. So you see the changes going there.
The shift, yeah.
So let's look at, and then they broke it down into political parties. So of Democrats, 35% in October 11th said too much. And November 6th through 9th, 56% too much.
Mm-hmm.
Then if you go to Republicans, this one's kind of interesting. October 11th, 13% too much, 44% about right, 39% too little. And November 6th through the 9th, 14% too much, 52% about right, 28% too little. The number that I want to share that I think is on people's minds is the age breakdown. So on October 11th, 37% of people under the age of 45 that were polled said too much. But in November 6th, 33% said too much.
What was the number on the first date?
On the under 45 was 37%, and the current one, 48%. Those are people under 45.
Mm-hmm.
And then people 45 and older, 18% said too much on October 11th, and 31% said too much on November 6th.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, even amongst, yes, there is a difference between the age groups, but they're all moving in that same general direction, right? That same shift has happened in the under and the above 45
right.
age group.
You know, and again, shortly after the attack by Hamas, the majority of Americans were supportive of Israel.
Tell me again the number of Americans who on October 11th, so 4 days after Israel had not actually done anything yet, I don't think, said too much.
So this is the question. Do you think Israel's military response to the attack by Hamas has been too much, too little, or about right? October 11th, the overall 26% said too much.
26%.
Yeah.
Right. That is the amazing number there, I think. Right. On October 11th was 4 days after. By October 11th, everybody knew, right, that 1,400 people had been killed. And some number at that time, it took a while, I think, to get to the full number of hostages, but it was well over 100 by that point, of all ages, had been taken hostage. Those numbers we knew. And other than calling up reservists, Israel had had no military response, basically, at that point. We had not gone in anywhere, and it was already too much. That number, that is the number of, like, to my mind, that's the anti-Semitism, right? That if you can say, when you know what happened to Israel, Israel has not done anything yet in response, and it's already too much, that's the anti-Semitism. And it's 26% of Americans.
Who are polled. Yep.
Who are polled.
Yep. So the reason I bring that up.
Right. I have no problem with people being critical of Israel. I'm not at all surprised about the number shifting, right? As Israel has more of a military response, and there are, of course, and it's tragic, casualties along the way. I get it. At some point, each person is going to decide for themselves what's too much. That's normal and that's fair. But if before Israel basically even lifts a finger, you're saying it's too much, that doesn't seem right.
Yeah, and 44% said about right, and 27% said too little. And then you switch to November the 6th poll, 38% said too much, 38% said about right, and 17% said too little. So you're seeing a real mm-hmm. shift as the, you know, war goes on. I think if I look at these numbers, the one that is really standing out the most is the Democrats from November 6th to the 9th, 56% said too much versus 35% said too much on October 11th.
Mm-hmm.
And we all
there's a lot of different ways to interpret numbers, but that, like, I wouldn't take issue with, right? I do believe people are entitled to their opinions, and I can understand a person saying that a military response that has civilian casualties, you know, that's responding too much. I don't necessarily agree with that, but I can understand the impetus behind saying that, and I respect people's right to feel that way. but that other number is the one that, to me.
So right away, four days after.
4 days after a massacre, when we know the real numbers basically of that massacre, right? It took some time, but by 4 days, what had really happened in Israel had come to light. The gravity of the tragedy was known. Israel had not responded, to my recollection, other than calling up massive numbers of reservists. And yet it was too much.
But just staying on that line, that overall line of 26%, and the 44% about right. This is the, and 27 too little. There's very little percentage of the unsure. So people had already formed an opinion right away.
Yeah, that's also interesting. I would have guessed, right, knowing nothing about these numbers, that the unsure would be a bit higher. Maybe that's me being naive. Maybe that's me thinking that people should say, how can they know? How do they know what's the right amount of military reaction? They're not here. They don't have all the information. We barely have all the information, even if you are on the ground here, right? For somebody else to say that they presume to know what's the right amount of military response, I'm surprised there aren't more unsure people. But I guess when you ask, people will give you their opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I think, and I'll put this in our notes of the podcast, but I think the part of the frustration that I see, it goes back to your earlier comment about how many people showed up to this rally. So the Jewish people are under attack, both physically in Israel and physically in other places, but the rise of anti-Semitism on college campuses and in other areas, it's at all-time high. And many people are standing alone.
Mm-hmm.
I have gotten emails from non-Jewish people saying, I'm shocked by the news that I'm seeing, but not that many people.
So, mm-hmm.
Which is kind of a challenge to digest the fact that here we've been, you know, active leaders in American Jewish life and American life in general, and were easily discounted.
Yeah. And look, I mean, obviously this is a sweeping generalization, but I don't think that American Jews, by and large, ever thought that they would find themselves in a situation like this. Meaning, I think for most of us, and I'll put myself in that category, right? I grew up in the United States. We felt fairly confident that the days of really dangerous or scary anti-Semitism on American soil were behind us. And so when we marched for other groups and when we supported other groups, it was because of what we knew had happened to us back when, and not ever thinking that this was, you know, that we would need other people to do it for us. It was never about, right, standing up for others so that they would be there for us one day. And which is why it hurts even more. When we have somehow found ourselves in that situation, we didn't expect it. We didn't think we would ever need it. And now that we do, it's not there.
Wow. You are spot on.
I would prefer not to be, but.
No, I would prefer you not to be either. You just put it all into perspective that all the more reason why we need a strong Israel. To protect not just Jews, but people who are marginalized by society, which I feel like we currently are. You know. Oh, that's a little heavy for a Wednesday podcast, Liz.
Would you like to go all the way in the opposite direction real quick, just so that we don't leave people with too heavy of a...
You can tease us with something, but we have the holiday of Hanukkah coming up in a couple of weeks, and I I think
you know me too well, Alan. You knew where this was going to go. Apparently, the fact that the exact opposite of American Jews being abandoned by their other progressive allies, the opposite of that is obviously jelly donuts, right? Souf Ghaniot is very clear one. On whatever this is, that's what's on one end, and on the other end are donuts.
But to be honest, Hanukkah is about the survival of the Jewish people.
There you go. That's why it's on the same scale. Yes. So I'm sure we will talk more about both the survival of the Jewish people and Souf Ghaniot as we get closer to Hanukkah. But to give a quick teaser, I will tell you maybe just some of the names of the first batch of fancy Souf Ghaniot that I came across this week, which includes the Black Crumble, which is a giant Oreo-inspired shenanigan. I don't know what that is. And then we have another here called the Sweet Rose, which is made with rose-flavored mascarpone cheese and a cassis marmalade and a red fruit cream. We have a golden cookie cream. We have a coconut cassis. We have a dolce flor de sel.
Wow.
We have a...
And these are all ready for sale?
Oh, yes. I saw them all in person. Yes. There's a mango yuzu. I don't know. What the, oh, meringue. Choco candy. Praline pistachio. Mascarpone forest fruits. And, of course, the classic strawberry and butterscotch. So we'll have our work cut out for us.
I think basically You'll have your work cut out for you because you have to sample all of those. And we'll talk more about the survival of the Jewish people and Souf Ghaniot or donuts on Sunday when we meet again. Any final, I'm going to give you that is your final comment. You don't get another final comment.
I'm done. Mic drop. Anti-Semitism, donuts, we're out.
Thank you all for listening. This has been Israel Rebound, a podcast bringing enlightenment about world events and Souf Ghaniot. Thank you all for listening today.
Thanks, Alan. Thanks, everyone.